Capital 263.
What up? How you doing? Welcome to Nayona and the other guys. Two other guys. Actually, okay, I'm figuring out adulthood in 30 or so minutes. I was just about to get into something. This one time, sorry, my intro is all off today because I'm excited all of a sudden. Thank you so much for downloading the show and listening to us. I truly appreciate it. For all those who listened to last week's very long episode, maybe this one's not going to be as long. And today I would like to say hello to Mark. Now, Mark, the first person who jumped on the Zoom call, and all I heard in the Zoom call when he jumped on, because his video wasn't there, was like, Onicha! And like, okay. That questionable noises in the back. I'm like, so this guy's listening to Japanese film, right? And then I heard like, wait a minute.
Anime, bro.
No, wait. I'm getting there for our listeners, right? Hold on. Of course it's anime. Whatever anime was he watching? And Mark, I'm like, Mark, and what are you watching? And then he starts stammering and he chooses the most typical thing to say that he was watching. He was like, I'm watching Bleach. I'm like, Mark, come on.
No stammer, I believe, bro.
Mark was listening. Mark was watching hentai. That's what I think he was watching. I think he was getting prepared for the show. It's a weekend. It's a Sunday. He's at home. He's a single man. And, you know, I was like, Then he's like, why would I be watching hentai in the afternoon? As if you cannot be doing any of those things in the afternoon. Like, Mark is going to be typically one of those guys who says that type of activity is only for the nighttime, for the bedroom. I'm like, Mark, you're going to have such a boring sex life, my guy. Very boring sex life. But you see, with the hentai, hey, bruh, I don't know. Like,
It wasn't hentai before the show.
Like, come on, bro. Like, chill.
It wasn't hentai. And I wouldn't watch it in the afternoon anyway.
So like, why would you, yeah. Why wouldn't you watch weird. It in the afternoon? Why? Because you feel like someone's weird, watching you.
It's just something weird to do in the afternoon. That's all I'm saying.
So you'd watch
why?
It?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. Plus it's hot. Anyway, it's hot. But that's besides the point.
So, you see, all this makes me feel like these are just me. Anyway, welcome to Mark.
Anzi, now Shakespeare, the lady doth protest too much, me thinks.
Oh, yes. Shakespeare's. Yes. Nyasha, she's saying you've been.
What
Mark,
I do?
Mark has been a naughty boy. And welcome to Nyasha, who I saw this week. So Nyasha has got the hairstyle that I call the mother of one and very happy in a marriage hairstyle. It's if you know it, you know it. It's like a very Harare type hairstyle that like a single, wow. Not a single mother, like a mother of, not even a mother of one, like a woman who's happily married in a relationship with a great guy who probably works as an IT manager, and she's also doing great in her own career, and has got like a little child who's like 2 years old. Who's just,
that is a very specific description, Onai. First of all, you're not the second person to me. Someone said that I'm looking mature, and I was like, are you saying I'm looking old? And as I'm drawing closer to my birthday, I'm just like, that is the last thing I want to hear.
But you know, it's a funny thing.
That's the last thing I want to hear.
Funniest thing about girls is that they want you to remember their birthday, but just don't want you to acknowledge. It's very weird.
No. Acknowledge my birthday. Don't acknowledge my age.
How? But
my birthday has nothing to do with my age.
So
like
when
you, everything to do with my presence. Got everything to do with you know, celebration and cake and happiness and joy and forgetting that another revolution around the sun has happened.
So can I ask you this question? At what age did you not like being asked the question, how old are you now? On your birthday, like at what age do you not want people to ask you?
I think every year is a blessing, and people should know that you've been alive for so long and survived so many trials and tribulations for so long. So celebrate every single year. Turning my hair, don't know why I was about to swear, but I'm turning 28 in a week.
A shout out.
Well, I don't know. It'll still be a week by the time this drops. So. Yeah.
On the 29th of March. Yeah. So presents, please send money.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're supposed to say when you
send
your
money.
Was.
It's okay. They must know.
All right, great. Cause someone once said something interesting online. They said whoever lied to us that by 30, achieving anything by 30 is the ultimate goal. Like they really messed us up. Because I always feel like there's so much pressure on this. Well, but people under 30. And I'm like, it's really crazy because I don't know. But anyway,
I was watching a thing the other day that said 30 under 30 really considered like Forbes, their playlists, lists of people that have achieved stuff really puts pressure on people to be more, to do more, and at what expense, instead of just choosing to live in the moment. We are constantly fighting to be on some list, to be the top. I'm not saying don't work hard, don't be the best, whatever it is that you're doing, but don't forget to live in the moment just because you want to be noticed.
Or young and happening. I do feel like people put a premium on under 30s, and I hate it. I hate it because there's a lot of fun figuring out to do about life before you hit 30. And usually by the time you hit 30, very few people have it all figured out. And if you've got it all figured out, shout out to you. But a lot of people, like, I'm only beginning to feel like I might be figuring out myself now that I'm here. But then I got a panic attack last week, and I not a panic attack, because that's like, you know, it wasn't real, but I was like, damn, I need to have a child and be married by 35. Like, it really hit me. Like, I'm going to be an old dad. And
by
whose standards do you have to have a child? Here's the thing. Is this your plan? Is it society's plan?
Before, what's the plan? Who gave you 35 as the marker?
Being an old dad gave me 35 as the marker. I'm like, I don't want to rock up to my child's school and be like, oh, your granddad's here. Like, damn. Like, I don't want that. But
well, consider this is now also going to be about how you take care of yourself. Because if you're looking like a, you know, like a little snack, no one is going to think anything. They'll be like, oh, no, your older brother's here. Because I can promise you, oh my God, this family is just actually just beautiful. The entire family is just stunning.
Yeah.
The dad looks like he's just maybe 5-6 years older than his son, who is currently 18.
Wow.
So this man is mid-40s, but looking late 20s.
He would get it from you.
So it's all about how you take care of yourself.
Okay, cool. I was like, would he get it from you? Is like, he can get it. He's one of those guys.
Oh, no. Because I know the kind of person that he is. He's not doing that.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to the show.
Amazing.
Just so you know, it's a very interesting thing. I hit up the group chat yesterday. I was like, I don't know what to talk about, guys. I really don't. Help me out. I don't know what to talk about. So today is an episode which is really kia, and I love it. And Mark is drinking something white. Like, he's still drinking milk. I don't know. Watching hentai drinking milk. Listen, that's his thing. Kind of spill some on his face too. I don't know what's going on. Nyasha, you had a...
yes.
About a week ago, Let's
start with... all of a sudden, I want to say rest in peace to John Magufuli from Tanzania. The president from Tanzania passed away. Lots of questions about how much of a great leader that he became. And then he also didn't become so much of a great leader. All I can tell you is that from what I'm seeing in the news, he seemed to be, he was very strong about the development in his country, but he really handled the COVID situation really badly. I've got friends in Tanzania, and every time I'd ask them about their president, they'd be like, I don't want to talk about it on the phone, which kind of is an indication to me of the type of atmosphere that he created of fear around his country. And I don't know, mixed legacies of our African leaders. I cannot wait until we do not have mixed legacies, where it's like a great guy, just not great guy, or at least just a great guy. I'm tired of us having like guys with two sides of the coin, and the two sides are super extreme.
I don't think we can ever completely run away from that. A meme comes to mind where Anzi, one person will tell you that I'm the most amazing thing that could have happened to them, and another person will tell me that I'm the worst thing, believe both of them, because something would have happened for me to treat them that way. I might have mixed like two different memes, but that's the essence of it.
That sounds like something you'd find on a single girl's Instagram post. Like, I'm being honest. Like, I can already see it. I can already see it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, except usually the background of this post is usually like a guy in a suit. So
I don't know. I was about to put up this. Whenever you're in. I'm so glad that's not like a thing of the past. There was a time when the song was kept playing, and I'm, anyway, okay, so that's that. Mark, I don't know any words on Magufuli.
Also, while on Magufuli's death, just being a little bit lighter, mm-hmm. I don't know how true this is that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
We can get a video. Now the listeners are going
to hear. I don't know how true it is. So please. Okay, so let me do that. Just first of all, you look really happy in this picture.
I was.
Anyway, so our helper showed me a news headline that said Magufuli was a great husband and he loved morning sex. Mark, as part of her eulogy, and I was just like,
Mark, do you see?
Is this how you want your husband to be remembered?
Can you please repeat what she just said, Masha?
As the president. he heard me.
Listen, I will always say, as a man who wakes up every morning and as the body of human males just happens to put a lot more blood within the organ in the morning. I feel like that is it was probably made for the morning. I would like to think so. Because it's so easy. You're already prepped. Red.
I think it's a great energizer.
I would like to think so. When I get married, I'll figure that out. Yeah. I'll probably be happy about that.
Yeah, but then let's think about how about morning breath. Let's talk about morning breath. How about that?
I do not care. All right. Like, I need you to know that I have been celibate for so long that a little morning breath is not going to ruin my experience. I don't care. I'll love her bad breath. Like, if she can fart, I don't care. Like, just.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Future bay out there.
I feel like we're not having a crossover between that serious sex education and Big Mouth.
I'm just saying, but listen, this is the thing, Ash. When it comes to morning breath, like
in the afternoon, like, yeah, better one, guys. I'm
Mark,
a child.
So. How self-conscious do you think guys are about morning breath? And Nyasha,
I don't think guys are, but women are very conscious of it.
That's the thing. I think women.
No, I am. I am very.
No, Mark. Are you waking up next to anyone in the morning every time? I don't even know why you're like pushing yourself. Listen, you don't even have to answer. It's fine. Here's my thing, right? About being conscious about stuff in the morning.
Why the violence, bro?
No, I'm saying, why are you even conscious about it, bruh? Like, who is there? Who is around you to be conscious about it? About?
Because.
Mark, you're on silent. It's just you and your morning breath.
Yeah, but we're talking about you being around someone.
Sorry.
We're talking about.
We're talking about
you actually waking up next to someone.
I'm conscious about it. Period. I'm very conscious about it.
Here's my thing, right? Guys, I need you to walk with me through this. People, when they sleep, right? They will keep their mouths closed. You may brush your teeth.
Yes.
You may lessen the amount of bad breath that you have, right? That whiff of breath. But if you're going to be married and worried about morning breath, which is something that is happening naturally, unless, of course, you've got halitosis or something, I think you're going to have a very unhappy morning period for your whole marriage if you're going to be super conscious about it.
Brush your teeth at 5 a.m.
No, but guys, I feel like that's a very unreliable standard. Like, get used to Girls, morning breath. Get used to guys, morning breath. I'm here for it all. Like, we're freaking human for crying out loud. Yeah. Like, we need to give ourselves breaks for certain things. Like, morning breath is going to happen. Come on.
Sorry, I'm not going to support you on that one.
I'm not saying you should have bad breath. I'm saying you should brush your teeth and take care of it. But still, even if you do, you're still going to have a little bit of a whiff or whatever that case is. And it's part of the human experience. No, hold on. Listen, hear me out, right? Sweat.
Okay.
Typically, smell great,
mm-hmm.
but that's just the way it's, I mean, it will not smell too much if you wash, but it's typically it. Like, think about it. Let's talk about Mark and his hentai, for example, right? People go down on each other all the time. Do you think that stuff tastes nice?
You know what?
But people still be lapping. People still lap it all up, right? And you just get used to it because it's part of the experience. I just feel like
is we should become.
It is. It actually is. I see it now. It's very much hentai.
Does that look like hentai to you?
It is. But anyway, like, my point is, let's just get used to it, guys. Let's just take away all these walls of insecurity and just be human. Except, though, I am not cool with underarm hairs. But let's just be human. You know what I mean?
To what extent can we be human? To what extent? Uh-huh. Because there's levels to it, bro. We can't just say, oh, yeah, we're being human and we allow all sorts of...
No, to a point where a girl has to wake up at 5 a.m. to brush her teeth in the morning just so that she can be able to kiss you. Bruh, like, think about that. Or a guy has to do that. Like, he's taking care of himself.
No, I will wake you up as well and we'll both go brush our teeth together. You know what I'm saying?
Bruh, listen, yeah. when that...
Yeah. Or even just like I'm mints sure. by the side of the bed or just something to keep things exciting, you know?
I don't think Magufuli was a great president because he had mints on the side of his bed. Bro used to wake up, nudge his wife like, yo, the president needs to get his morning sorted out. You know, you're going to do something for the president. You don't have to call me daddy, but I am the president. I am the head of state. And the head of state needs some head. I'm just saying.
Demands head?
That's not demand. Statutory instrument.
You know, we talk about the big head of state.
It's that hentai. Like, it's the same. Listen, I don't even want to answer that question, man. But I'm just saying.
Now,
like,
who's watching hentai? Me or you? Who's watching hentai? Me or you?
I'm not. You saw my screen is clean. But all I'm just saying, Yasha, is let's be human. Let's humanize being human. Let's normalize certain things, right? Except underarm hair. But let's normalize certain things.
Why not?
I don't even have underarm hair. Like, I cut it all off, bro. Like, I ain't even gonna lie, man. I don't think something about
it. How often do you cut it off?
I'm not gonna lie. It doesn't grow much for me. It doesn't really grow much. Like, I've got those types of genes.
We can tell your face. Uh-huh.
You do not even have a hair, Mark. Chill, bro. Like, relax. You don't even have hair anyway, like on your head. Oh, gosh. I feel like...
Dude, leave me alone. Okay.
Hentai watching, dude. Anyway, Nyasha had something quite important. Like, let's move on. Our listeners are probably thinking, guys, what's wrong with you guys? Anyway, Nyasha, about a week ago, let's continue.
No, we were going to do the Patriot Egg.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to tell me about the Patriot Egg.
So, there was, I think, last year's, either 2019 or 2020, October, thereabouts last year, someone suggested the Patriot Act. It's a bill. So, the Patriot Act, the bill, as far as I know it, is our country saying that it no longer citizens and people who are part of the citizenry, persons within this country, to decampaign our country with foreign entities against our national interests. So just to operationalize it, it puts a clamp on freedom of speech. Let's just say, for an example, as a citizen, if I'm interviewed, I think this is how it's going to work out. If I'm interviewed by a foreign country about the status of what's happening in my country, and I say something that the powers that be do not like, and then they can twist it to say that I am decampaigning my country, I can be liable for arrest, which makes it very difficult to hold our country's leader accountable on the internationals.
Crazy.
Yes, that's what they want to say. And then they're premising and they're saying, you know what? Even the United States did it. The Logan Act, which is about 220 years old, where this guy who was not part of the government went and tried to do some peace treaty between America and the French wars, of which even they don't use it because they know just how, you know, it doesn't even make sense. Now, the biggest risk to this about this bill is that it really makes it difficult for people within our country, for reporters, for citizens to talk about our country in a quote unquote bad light without the fear of arrest. Uh-huh. And they have not yet made amendments or put it out. But when you see people saying down with the Patriotic Act, this is what people think that this is going to do. And they're saying because they say like not decampaign your country is being a patriot. In my argument, I'd say Zimbabwe, the liberation war, right? We had ZIPRA and ZANLA forces, ZIPRA forces.
ZIPRA.
Yes,
sure.
Getting trained by external people. You got them interacting with external powers. And that got us our liberation. Now, if you take away that from the citizenry, mm-hmm. I believe it also takes away the good that may come out of speaking against the ills that are happening in our country to international bodies. So when I just look at the two, I'm like, we are part of the reason why we're enjoying our freedom is because certain people were able to talk to external powers. Now you want to take that away from us? I don't know. So it's just a little concern, but I do, like, I can't say I do understand why they're doing it, but like, it scares me. It really does.
Yeah.
For me, it scares me because I feel like we're going backwards.
True.
Because I mean, when the new government came in, did they not promise freedom of speech and not censoring people? And this is the exact opposite of that. And for me, also heading into election season, mm-hmm. well, they're starting the campaigns for elections. Mm-hmm. I think it's it's an unfair and stifling act to be instigating is not the word that I want. Mm. Putting into place. Yeah, whatever the complex word for doing that is. Mm. I'm not really here for it. Like I understand them trying to protect themselves and trying to get people to be more patriotic and less negative, which I mean we could all do a lot more of, because I also think that as Zimbabweans we tend to speak more negatively about our country as opposed to seeing the potential and actually advertising that. It's easier to condemn and to speak bad about the country.
But Nyasha,
so that we can also.
Is that negative news unwarranted? Is it unwarranted or?
No. They're not unwarranted. I'm just saying there's no need to make that the sole focus of our social media postings and conversations that we have with other people. Yes, these things are happening, but what are we going to do about them? What can we do about them? What can the international community do about it to help us to get to where we need to be?
You know what? I hear you and I do understand the toxic nature in which Zimbabweans talk about themselves, Zimbabweans talk to each other online, but listen, you can't force patriotism. You can't force me to talk about you can't force me to talk about something as if it's good when to me it's not working out well. Yesterday I was triggered. I went to a stand that my mother owns and I was just, first of all, just to get there, the potholes were a mess. The roads were a mess. The environment was a mess. Everything there was bad. And I was just thinking, wow, which government allowed this to happen? And this is affecting me at a very personal kind of level. And I don't usually decry the state of my country online. But you can't force me to be very proud of something that is not giving me any pride. So I really feel like if anyone wants to foster patriotism, it has to come from real improvements within the lives of people. You can't just force me to just say everything's okay when things are not okay. I think
we're not saying I don't think they're saying don't speak about them. I mean, obviously that's what they want to happen. But if we're to step back, fudge cake. Where was my point going? Wait, okay, so I have two thoughts. The one will go back into what you're saying about not being full, you can't force people into patriotism. But if we go back to high school, were you not forced into school patriotism where if there's, say, beef between Convent and Chizzy, to be very honest, I don't know why the beef exists. I don't know how long it dates back. But because it's always been there, we just sort of assimilated into it. So in some ways, yes, you can force patriotism, but maybe because it's on a smaller scale of schools, it's not as easy to notice. But now when you're looking at a whole country that's got so many people that have opposing views, it's a bit difficult to imagine patriotism being forced on people.
But you were also not forced not to talk bad about your school, about the things that you felt were bad about it. Yeah, there may have been a school pride. Like there was a school pride definitely instilled. Like I also come from a school like that. Like, you know, you've got your school song, you've got sports and it's competitive and all that. And mostly, I mean, we were all in a closed environment in a boarding school. So it's kind of tough just to see how bad things are sometimes when you don't see how good things are for other people. But you were not forced as well. You're not stifled. I mean, there was a time when we felt like they were stifling us and then there was a strike at school. But I just feel like the difference is that while you're encouraged to have school pride, you are not discouraged from speaking out about the things that you don't like about the school at the same time. Which in this case, if the Patriotic Act happens the way most people think it will stifle us from like crying.
True.
You know, so.
And one thing, guys, which I feel like we are kind of missing, to be honest, in as much as Zimbabweans, the way we speak about each other is on the toxic side. I feel like most Zimbos love Zimbabwe, but we hate how the country is being run down. It's not like
So how do we fix it?
Okay, so
because you know what my issue is you go and you cry, how are you going to fix what you're wearing?
The thing that's is that you can't as a citizen.
That's a whole different story, I feel.
Yeah, because it goes...
Like I'm saying, I feel like Zimbos love Zimbabwe, but we're just decrying how the country's being run down. So does complaining about not having a working system make you unpatriotic? It doesn't. It doesn't make you unpatriotic because you want the best for your country. You want the best for future generations. If anything, that makes you hella patriotic.
I agree.
Because you want something that is sustainable for the future. Right. Now, the fixing part, that's a whole different conversation altogether because we all have to do something and we all have to start somewhere. But for now, I don't think we hate our country. We love our country. Super love Zimbabwe, but we just hate how it's being run and how it's being run down. And that is what we are complaining about.
Okay, well, we're about to run out. Let's...
Okay.
Yeah, we've got less than a minute to go. And then just jump back onto the previous.
Okay, no, it's fine. I think when we come back, we can just go into the next thing.
Yes. I agree with you. Anyway, I'm going to show my face because I can for now.
Watching Hentai.
I'm not watching. Really, really, though. Really, 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 though. Welcome back to the second segment, which is probably going to be this. It's a remix second segment, and it is hashtagzin.com/feelingstation. So, Nyasha, I need you to do the thing, please.
The feeling station one. Wait. What was that? The hashtags one is a ring ding 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 ding.
No.
Welcome to the feeling station.
Okay, so you want to you want to do it that way? Do you want this? Is how you wanted to go down?
This is how it's gonna happen.
Okay, let's go. Nani nini nini hashtag nani.
Welcome to the feeling station.
Thank you. All right, let's.
Okay, so to be very honest, I haven't done this in a long time.
Mark, what are you saying?
I'm just asking you, in your previous lifetime. That's all I'm asking.
Hey, no.
Yes or no?
No, I know. Only had one life. Only had one life.
Great. Exactly. And that's it. We move on.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically what we're hashtagging feeling stationing is, I don't know how aware people are about in America, it is America, because America is where all the shootings happen with all the racist nonsense happening there. A guy went happy-go-lucky shooting sometime during last week, and he shot up Asians, and the police department, because he's white, have stated that it wasn't really a racist attack because it's not possible, you know, he just shot up randomly and these random people just happened to be Asian. And then one of the police peoples, the captain or whatever it is, was giving a press statement, and one of the things that they use as justification was he had had a bad day the previous day, and that's why he was acting out. So my question was, is this, how are we handling anxiety and our bad days in general in life? Are we being thoughtful about them? Do we just suddenly rage out? You know how when you're on the road and someone cuts you in traffic and you just like, you start, you riff off all of the language, the English and Shona language cuss words, maybe even Debele if you're in there, you know, and you're just like letting them have it. The next person doesn't hear what you're saying, but for you, you've just immediately jumped over into these emotions. So I just wanted to, that was my question. How are we handling our bad days as young adults? Are we going out and shooting people if we could shoot people? Well, and does the end justify the means?
No, it doesn't. One thing, I don't know if you remember do you remember the New Zealand shootings as well?
Yes.
Yes. I remember there was a newspaper article about it, and in the newspaper they said the young man was battling depression. I was like, oh wow, there you go again. So to me, it's just a matter of white people defending each other, being patriotic to each other, and just finding an excuse for all this hate that they have. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know why they have it. But yeah, very unjustified message. Because to me, it's like, okay, so you're saying what it did was right or wrong. But anyway, we digress. How are we handling our bad days? That's a very good question. And I feel that most of us are not handling these bad days very well, because coming from a culture of where dialogue and talking is not nurtured within our families, within our societies, you are told to bottle it up. Muruma achemi, you know, comes to mind. Shingirira comes to mind. All those are statements and ways in which we are told to move. That's why of late, personally, I hate this statement of blah, 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 so we move. I hate it because I feel like people go through the motions of experiencing all these things and they never take time to fully digest and get over these emotions, these feelings. They never get that time to comprehend what happened, and they never get that time to fully deal with it. And then after that, they're like, oh yeah, we move. And to me, that is very dangerous, because we are creating ticking time bombs within our society. Fine, we might not be as violent, we're not as violent, but like you're saying, Yasha, how then, whenever we then crack and pop, how do we do it? We start shouting at people, maybe we go and kill someone, and all of that, which I feel is definitely not sustainable in the long run, because we are not dealing with the situation. So, yeah, we are not handling it very well. Very few of us can handle wealth. Very few. But the majority can't, and they don't know how to handle those bad days.
I've got a question. I think, Mark, you really laid down the foundation of the status quo. But I've got a question to Nyasha. I think there's a truck outside making so much noise.
Uh-huh.
I've got a question. How much of the way we handle things do you think is socialized? How much do you think is taught? And how much do you think is seen? Now, here's my thing. If we never, ever saw a mass shooting, murderer on television, on films, on the news, do you think that someone would have thought about it as an option to deal with a bad day if they'd never seen it? If someone had never seen the popularization of a way to deal with solution with a problem, like let's just say drinking a lot, or I hate to say suicide as well, right? I wonder who teaches us that this is a way to cope, right? Because all these people are using these different ways to cope, and that's the way to cope that they feel like is good enough for them, right? Whatever the situation is. And I'm wondering, so we are clearly failing to deal with these things, right? But who's teaching us to deal with them the wrong way in the first place, right? Who's got the responsibility to show us the right ways and the wrong ways of dealing with anxiety, with depression, with a bad day? Because in my head, I'm thinking, if we grow up in an environment where some of these things are taught, and we've got these tools, and it's intentional how we get to learn about them, are we sure that we're not going to see some people doing this, right? Or using these better methods? I think now of all the men and women who sometimes kill their own children after being scorned, or men who kill their wives, their children after being cheated on, and they commit suicide and all that. Who taught you that? In my head, like, who told you that was an option? Or where are you getting this idea that is an option? And I want to blame television. I want to blame how it's almost like how I don't want to say normalize it, but at the same time, I don't want to give them flag, because television sometimes is just a reflection of what's going on in life. But I'm just thinking, who teaches us even the bad things and ways to cope?
Okay, so this is an age-old argument, nature versus nurture.
Mm.
How much of how we think, how we behave is a result of our natural chemical makeup, and how much of it is what we see and what we learn, what our parents instill in us? Mm. How much of it is rationalization based on the experiences that we've had growing up and experiences that we've had just existing in the world, seeing things change? Because obviously the way that, for example, the way that you text.
Mm-hmm.
Back then you used to write, personally, honestly, I look at old Facebook posts and I'm disgusted with myself because the English and the typing is just horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking at myself now and I'm like, okay, so I learned to speak properly in English and over text and the such. Wait, train of thought, come back. So I'm also watching this show, and I've just watched an episode where there was a child. She was 6 or 7, but she was already diagnosed as a psychopath because the way that she rationalizes things by herself, not as a result of how her parents brought her up or what she saw, but just because her chemical makeup and how she thinks by herself was of a selfish, narcissistic behavior way. So how much of, if we weren't exposed to mass shootings, and if we weren't exposed to social media and the such, I don't think we can really quantify how much of that has an impact on us, because there are certain things that are just within. It's just like asking, so if the LGBTQ community didn't see it being acceptable in society now, how many kids wouldn't have come out? How many people would still be in the closet if it hadn't been? And how much of it is learned as opposed to them just being born the way that they are? how do you quantify that?
I mean, the reason why I wouldn't want to use the LGBTQ one as opposed to the anger management, as it were, is because legitimately I don't know much about the LGBTQ community to speak on it, but what I do know is more about anger, right? Mm-hmm. Like to say, fine. So as human beings, we grow up and we've got a natural inclination to be angry when we're faced with a crisis situation. What we do after that anger, how natural is it? But then do you think we can be taught to be angry in a good way? And do you think we can be taught to be angry in a bad way?
What would that be? What would that even look like?
I think that, you know how they tell us to, when you're angry, don't try not to say, like, try not, some of the words that we say when we're angry, we might say things that we don't mean. So it's sometimes it's okay to take a step back, like things like acknowledging the fact that I'm angry and trying to think it through. Trying not to say anything, like legitimately, and being intentionally taught, like, do not act in anger from a young age. Don't just smack someone in the face just because you didn't get what you want. Hold on. I know you're angry, mm-hmm. but just hold on. So I'm trying to think, could this man who was having a bad day been taught not to be angry? Could he have been taught yes. how to handle his bad day and not to yes. deal with his sex addiction and all that? Or that's just us trying to go against human nature? And do we hold him accountable to not having been taught not to be angry and then to not go killing people? Is he guilty of it because he wasn't taught or he wasn't a good learner? I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, if... Okay.
You can be taught some of these things.
If we
can. I believe you can be taught. 100%. You can be taught. Like you're saying, the how we always say, don't act in anger, you know, because you might say things that you don't mean. All of that, it's ways of trying to douse the fires that come with anger so that you don't end up saying the wrong thing. You don't end up doing the wrong thing. So yes, you can be taught. But like what Nyasha was saying, it's, you know, the balance between nature and nurture, you know, the two, those two forces also comes into play. In what type of environment did you grow up in? What type of people did you grow up with? And within yourself, as you grow up, what are some of the lessons that you've taught yourself with regards to how you act in public with yourself, all of that? So it's very hard to quantify which of the two between nature and nurture plays a more significant role in your life, but they do play a significant role. It's then up to you as an individual to play a balancing act and navigate these roles, you know, the road of life, picking up stuff that you feel will work for you and stuff that will not. Talking from a personal point of view, I think I've been through that, whereby I grew up in a certain environment with certain behaviors and actions. And as I grew up, I was like, I don't want to be like this. I want to be like that. So as a result, mm-hmm. I tried to move away from the negative emotions and behaviors, which I feel don't aid me as a person and how I relate to others. So that was a conscious decision. That's something that I had to teach myself based off what I saw and what I learned growing up. So you can be taught some of these things. It's also an issue of personal conviction, I feel, at the end of the day. It's all about personal conviction. What do you see as right and what do you see as wrong, which then helps you to decide how you react to all these situations.
I think there's see, morality which is how we see right and wrong, is a such a murky place to I feel like this went from hentai to super deep real quick.
You said hentai to what?
Morality. Mm.
Amen.
I think morality isn't something that we can always use as a great standard for it's how subjective. People behave, because
but killing a person,
it's so subjective.
But then
because
killing
people can be justified. Consider
no,
this.
No, but listen
this
up. But killing
consider,
a person.
Miraka. Mm. Okay, this. All right, finish.
But killing
okay,
a person, like, regardless of your moral standing, is generally a bad thing, especially if it's not in self-defense, right? Like,
not necessarily, not necessarily.
Really?
Because let's consider. Yes. No. Listen, I want you to understand, maybe from a serial killer's perspective. Obviously, yes, it's wrong because we are looking at it from our moral standing. Murder is bad. The Bible says it's one of the ten commandments, right? 10 rules in that entire book that God said these without fail need to be, you know, followed. But then someone who's, see, this is why I was saying nature versus nurture. Consider Ted Bundy. He had ill feelings towards his mom. So he's got an unhealthy relationship with women as is. Charming person, such an amazing anyone. Like, if you watch the Ted Bundy tapes, when they did his interviews and stuff, people saw him as a very well put together and together in his mind kind of person, and wouldn't have suspected him of mass killings. But he did, because he thought he was in the right. He felt justified in his killing and behaving how he was. I will give you an example. I will give you an example that maybe is a bit more relatable. I'm going through this, like how Mark was saying, he had to relearn as a deciding consciously what kind of person that he wants to be. I'm currently going through a program where you need to reevaluate your triggers and your reactions, and finding the in-between that leads you from one point to the other. So what this lady said to me was, imagine if you are walking across the street and then a driver just speeds past you and almost runs you over. The immediate reaction is to start cussing them out and just like being super, super angry. But this person is, if she then said to me, if I said to you, this person was speeding because their wife was having a miscarriage and they needed to get to the hospital so that the baby and mom could be safe, your reaction to that is then different. So I'm just saying, people do things, they're speeding in a non-speeding space, but their reason is justified. Killing is a bit extreme, sure, but a person might feel justified in how they're responding to things.
So,
do you get what I mean?
So now, as a answer to the question of unfiguring out adulthood, what are we saying?
For when it comes to unfiguring adulthood, we need to pause, try to understand the next person's point of view, try to understand why you're reacting the way that you're reacting, and then try to be more considerate and kind to those around you and yourself. And remember that your actions, in as much as you might think that they're justified, can affect everyone else that's around you.
Easier said than done, though.
It's 1,000 times easier said than done. I'm like, trust.
Because
I completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, listen, go, please, I cut you off, I'm sorry.
It's so difficult to recreate and to realign ourselves into a new way of thinking if you've grown up thinking that doing things a certain way is right. If you grew up knowing that the sky is blue, if someone suddenly turned around and said, actually, it's pink and we just see it as blue, your mind would just be like, I don't understand what you're trying to say to me. So in trying to change and to adapt to socially acceptable and personally acceptable morals, be kind to yourself and do so with reason.
Yep, it's not easy. Because when Nyasha comes through with a passive aggressive chi at work, and I'm like, I just asked her, did you send me the minutes to the last meeting that we had on Friday? It's Tuesday, and then she comes all passive aggressive to me. I'd be like, first of all, it was your responsibility. Second of all, why being passive aggressive? And then me not understanding that Nyasha, you know, broke up with her boyfriend because he was watching hentai. It's like, I don't really, you know, it's none of my business, right? Like, it's not easy though. Like, I hear the good in it, but I'm just saying, sometimes am I justified for holding you to the responsibilities that you're supposed to be held to? Like, the actual responsibilities. Yes. Sorry, Mark, in the workspace, I need you to do 1, 2, 3, but you didn't do it. And you've got a reason. Your reason is none of my business, but you've got a reason. I am of the mindset that we should really be empathetic because we don't know what people are going through. But I don't know how much work the person themselves who is going through that thing should be considered of the fact that they're still living in an environment where lots of people also living and they're dependent on them to do the things right. Like, it's a very difficult line to walk.
I think maybe because Africa isn't yet on that level of accepting that people can actually have anxiety and all these mental illnesses and psychological issues, we are not at the level where we can allow people to take personal days and go. Some people, wherever they are, have decided to have in-house therapists that people can just, like, you know, go off for 2 seconds, stop rocking. It's making you kind of wheezy.
Sorry.
People have, like, in-house therapists that they can have communication with, that they can deal with the things that they can't explain to you as Onai, kutinenda tazakuta my report. Yes, of course, I still need to do my work and be results-oriented, but I also need to be able to help to function mentally and personally. And if I can't explain it to Onai, I need to have someone that I can explain to who can then, I don't know, maybe help me find ways of handling all of that mess.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't know. It's as we're young adults, okay, and as we're young adults, dealing with bad days needs to be something that we do more naturally. Finding people that you can talk to, whether it's a friend, an aunt, a cat, just somewhere where you can actually have an outlet for whatever it is that is going on within you. Otherwise, we are actually going to end up shooting everybody in the world.
I hear you. I think it's something that people who are listening to the show should think about. I actually want to end the show here because the other issue is also quite deep and I want to really tackle it properly because we might not have time.
Yeah. But
I think it calls on all of us to really think strongly about being the person having the bad day and the person who is around the person having a bad day. And if you know me personally, I'd really like you to know me, Nyasha or Mark personally, anyone who's going to listen to the show. Let's talk about, like, how do you handle your bad days? How do you deal with it? And have you found a solution?
Even on our socials, bro. We're going to put this up. Let's start a conversation.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation because maybe what you say can help someone else. And
that's true.
You know, we're a community.
We are a community. Anyway, on that note, Nyasha, where can people find you when they want to find out about how to deal with your bad days or just want to holler at you and say something nice about your hairstyle? or your...
I mean, my number is 0-1-1-0-9-1.
You're putting your number out there.
No, shame. You can find me on Instagram. I'm Nyasha at nyasha.tembeza. Twitter, I'm still trying to be a bit active and figure my way out in that space. That's Nyasha_Tembeza. And then on Facebook, Nyasha Natasha Tembeza. Mm-hmm. And then on WhatsApp, of course, if you have my number.
hit the shorty up. Mark?
I'm off social media, but if there are any DMs, I'll definitely get back to those.
Mark is dodgy, bro. Like, he's off social media, but he's going to answer the DMs.
Scary.
Basically,
that's what I'm saying.
Is that hentai?
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. If you're having a bad day and you just need to let off some steam, you can come and watch some hentai, is when I say it. And
it's like a hentai watch party. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. So the nasty. Joke is with you.
That would actually be pretty dope. Let's plan something.
And we watch and we drink some white stuff. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Drink your milk alone. Nye on Nye Pod on Instagram. Nye on Noog Nation on Twitter. Nye and the Noog Nation on Facebook. It's on Nye online on social media. Hit me up. And let's talk more about having bad days. We're gonna keep this conversation going. And maybe gonna bring in people who might know. We should have a psychologist on the show one of these good days, and we should.
100%.
I think we should. I think we have
100%.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate you. I love you. And yeah,
before you go, shout out to Friendship Bench. I feel like they are underrated in such situations. They help people. You know, you can search for them online. You'll find them, the Friendship Bench. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you need someone to talk to,
I think I'll also.
They really do come through.
I'll also give Anai their phone number. They're actually really dope people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to have a friendship bridge in this friendship group. That's really cool. Yeah. So shout out to all the listeners and we'll see you next week.
I was so trash.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not funny sometimes, but most times I am. Yeah. Plus, just so you know, that whole thing, like, hey, let's talk about range, but make it about a hair thing. That's female privilege right there. I just saw that on Twitter. I'm just saying I saw it.
What does that even mean?
Like, you throw 4 pictures of your hair in different ranges, like different hairstyles. I'm like, what will Mark do? Like, Mark does not even have a picture of himself with the hair anymore. His hair range is just like shinier and less shiny. That's the hairstyle. You know, but anyway, that's all he has. 2 versions of his bald head. That's all he has. But anyway, guys, we're over time. We're over time. Like, no, I had to say something about your head, bro. Hair.
Why?
You didn't need to. Some of these things are just for women. Is this like how, like, you saw people getting, like, guys getting onto this busted challenge? Like, why? Why are you doing it?
Yeah, why?
It's for the women to show off their booty. What are you doing?
If a guy's
even
doing
the John Fully kid, why?
Yeah, guys doing the busted challenge is nasty. Ugh, why?
Women say you're commodifying them.
Listen, women have got double standards for days, just deal with it. Like, but watching ever gone on a busted challenge, watching a compilation video, it's girls, 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 and then all of a sudden it's a guy's like, yeah, you just killed the vibe. I didn't say that. Oh, anyway, goodbye. I'm stopping recording now. And now. Capital 263.